Ladies and gentlemen, from somewhere on the great Llano Estacado, it's the one who tells it like he sees it. The one who thinks it's rude not to talk about politics and religion. It's Pratt on Texas. Now, here's your host, Robert Pratt.
From the True Texan Studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas. Don't forget the show's now podcast. Unfortunately, on the podcast, it doesn't have all the great Texas music we play, but oh well, still good. You can find it anytime, listen anytime, anywhere, download your copy, shift the time to your commute. That's all you got to do is go to prattontexas.com. You'll see the instructions there where it says podcasts. In the stack for today's Pratt on Texas, our Lone Star story of the day, the feud between House, Senate, and even the governor, the leadership of the two bodies and the governor, is a result of two things, of not getting to the work that office holders tell voters they support early, and in some cases, it's due to bad leadership, but also, and that's what I mean by not getting to work early, bad leadership, but in many cases, it's because they are frankly dishonest. They tell us they support bills that they really have no intention to fight for. Our Lone Star story of the day, sponsored by Allied Compliance Services, providing the best service in DOT business and personal drug and alcohol testing since 1995, AlliedCompliance.com. We've got more news from the legislature, not just the big issue on the controversy and the feud between leadership. We've got news from the border. Biden's border mess just keeps getting worse. We've got a bit on Memorial Day, which of course is Monday, and more as time allows. As always, it is, my friends, a great day to be a Texan today in Texas history. Well, this is the day in 1923, May 28th, that Santa Rita Number 1 came in. That was the oil well in Reagan County in West Texas that belonged to the University of Texas system. And also in 1924, this is the day the U.S. Congress established the United States Border Patrol as part of the Immigration Bureau. And out of D.C., Senator Cruz issued a statement on this so-called January 6th commission. He said that the attack on the Capitol was a dark moment. I'll fully support ongoing law enforcement investigation involved, but and anybody that, you know, broke the law to be attacked. But summarizing, he said that, look, the Congress doesn't need to be doing this stuff, essentially, and because it's politically motivated. And guess what? The Republican filibuster worked. A vote to overcome the filibuster was 54-35, short of the 60 votes needed. So the filibuster, supported by John Cornyn and Ted Cruz, worked to stop this silly commission to probe what they call an insurrection at the Capitol. The Dallas Morning News calls it an insurrection. Ted Cruz calls it terrorist attack on the Capitol. I don't believe it was. I mean, terrorism is a specific thing designed to invoke terror. This was just a protest that got out of hand. Isn't it funny all year that protests can burn down cities, kill people, all kinds of things go on right in front of our eyes on cameras, and it's just a protest. That's just a protest. It's not even a riot. Actual news networks refusing to call it a riot. And now all of a sudden people got unruly in a big crowd and went in there and nobody tried to seize power. It wasn't an insurrection and it wasn't a terrorist attack either, Senator Cruz. It may have spawned some individual terror. I mean, AOC, doesn't she say she's in some kind of therapy now because it's like having been to war? Insanity. It was a riot. It was a protest or a gathering that turned riotous, let's put it that way, with a few people in a certain area. So, I mean, that stuff didn't go all over the mall of the Capitol and down to the ellipse where the president was speaking. It was all in one place, a few people. But anyway, they stopped this commission, which is a good idea because all that is a political thing to score political points with. The rotary rig counts out from Baker Hughes. And finally, Texas doesn't go down. You know, the last few rotary rig counts for drilling rigs, oil and gas rigs, the U.S. was up, but Texas was down, which is extraordinarily rare because we just make up more than half the country's drilling rigs normally. Right now, we're a little bit under half. The U.S. count went up by 2 this week. The Texas count finally went up. It went up by 4 to 218. And I noticed Pennsylvania dropped 2, New Mexico dropped 1, Colorado dropped 1, Texas up 4 drilling rigs in the Baker Hughes report today. Now let's get to the Lone Star story of the day, sponsored by our friends at Allied Compliance Services, AlliedCompliance.com. Abbott, you ought to be extraordinarily offended by what Greg Abbott said. He called the idea of a special session, quote, goofy. And this is really ridiculous, given that he has done exactly that in the last session. Called a special session when there was a key bill and then loaded it up and put a bunch of other conservative priority bills on the call. He did that last time. Now, he again provided zero leadership to push those bills through, and a lot of them died. And now he's out there. I don't know what's going on with this guy, but I don't think this is very smart, given that he's looking at re-election, because what you're saying is that fighting for conservative priorities, working a little extra to pass conservative priorities you've said you stand for, is goofy. And that's the only way you can take this. I mean, all right, there's so many columns on this today. One headline at the Center Square, infighting unfolds among GOP leadership as Texas legislative session winds down. That in and of itself isn't that unusual. Lieutenant Governor Patrick says he won't doom police oversight agency to force a special session. That's the main bill. I didn't get to all that yesterday. I didn't have all of it in front of me, but that they were calling a hostage bill. The Texans back Mike Colum, House and Senate leadership spar over session progress. That's normal. Let's get to Chuck Lindell at the Austin American-Statesman. Headline, Texas Governor Greg Abbott Texas Governor Greg Abbott on calls for a special session, colon, quote, that's pretty goofy, end quote. Really? Really? It's goofy if we don't get our major conservative priorities passed? That's what, essentially, the governor now is doing this. I think he's engaged in some of this triangulation stuff that Bill Clinton was so good at. But the problem here is what you're saying, governor, is that those who have, like the lieutenant governor, who want to get key conservative priorities passed that protect taxpayers and voters, well, it's goofy to work a little extra. What is this, governor? Story reads, Governor Abbott asked Thursday whether he was considering granting Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick's request for a special legislative session, tossed a large bucket of cold water on the idea, calling it pretty goofy. Abbott warned, and I told you this yesterday, let me go on. I predicted the way this was going to go. Abbott also warned legislative leaders against trying to sabotage the regular session by withholding action on necessary legislation, saying they would get more than they bargained for. A nearly endless string of 30-day special sessions guaranteed to proceed at a snail's pace. Good, that's what real leadership would be to pass conservative priorities, governor. And you think all that's goofy. Not only am I the only one with the authority to call a special session. Nobody doubted that. In fact, the lieutenant governor was asking you to do so, sir. He was respecting that authority. I get to decide when, and I get to decide what will be on that special session. Again, see, he's trying to stand up and look like big man, big leader all of a sudden. The problem is, if he had given leadership during the session, most of these issues wouldn't be held out to the last minute and it'd be sunk at the end of the day. And he says, and here's what I'd do if anybody tries to force this. The only thing I'll put on there are things that I want passed. Right? Second, we're going to go one item at a time, one item placed on the agenda, and then we won't move to another until another session until the next time. Good. See, he's doing this to put them down, but this is exactly, Governor, the kind of leadership we would like to see. Oh, well. So if anybody tries to hold hostage this legislative session to force a special, that person will be putting their members in the Senate or in the House potentially into a special session for another 2 years until the next regular session. I wonder why the governor doesn't understand that this is exactly the kind of leadership we would like to see. It's exactly what the left would do to push their agenda on us. Oh, no. We think it's goofy. That's what Governor Abbott's saying, that it'd be goofy to actually push hard for conservative issues in the legislature.
More from the True Texan Studio after this.
If providing health insurance for yourself or your employees is costing more than you can afford, listen closely to this message.
I think one of the challenges that all small business owners are facing today is while they may be less than 50 employees, they're still competing with the big box companies that have full-blown benefit plans.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
And with the price almost reaching the point of unaffordability, employers are looking for solutions. And my out-of-the-box thinking is providing a solution. We enrolled a local company, and we were able to save that employer one-third of his budget, which was equal to a little over $100,000 that he was paying prior to working with my agency.
Life Health Dental. With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. Hurley Benefit Services is independently owned, and they're online at hurleybenefits.com. H-U-R-L-E-Y benefits.com.
Now a man once declared a registered dead conservative by Rush Limbaugh. Here's your host, Robert Pratt.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So the governor says he issues his threat in a manner of saying that the whole idea of a special session, in his word, is goofy, and that, my gosh, be careful what you ask for. If I do it, it'll be, yeah, that's what we wish you would do. Then you would be a real leader. But the fact is, if you'd given real leadership during the session and early in the session, governor, we wouldn't have so many of these bills that die at the end because nobody can get to it. Now, Abbott, this whole thing, look, the lieutenant governor suggested that the governor ought to call a special session so we can get some of the conservative priorities passed that basically died in the House, some in the Senate. And the big issue on a bill is the bill that lets the Texas Commission on Law Enforcement Standards, which regulates peace officers, continue operating beyond September 1st because of the sunset review passage. The Senate failed to vote on that HB 1600. Well, the lieutenant governor has come out and said, look, he's not going to doom the police oversight agency to force a special session. He says there are no hostages, and he's not doing that. The governor all of a sudden is making all these quotes like big man on campus that he knows how it works. But remember, he didn't even put out his statement that there's time to get these things done until the day after the House bill hearing deadline, indicating either he's just talking and doesn't know what he's talking about, or, well, let's just put it this way, it makes no sense at all. If you're going to finally step in and say they need to get these things done because they're time, you don't make the statement the day after the time is run out by rule in one body of the legislature, one half of it. And that's exactly what he did. Oh, well. So I think he's just doing the old Bill Clinton triangulation model, talking tough, trying to, you know, blame Congress, so to speak, blame the legislature. And there's a lot of blame there to go around. The problem is, what he's saying is goofy is exactly what we would love to see in conservative leadership in this country, where we actually push our agenda with the might, vigor, and force and interest that the left pushes theirs. Isn't it funny how so many conservatives and Republicans always think of that kind of thing as goofy? They've done it my whole life. They just give the back of the hand and the wave of the hand to those conservatives that are concerned about the country. They think all this stuff is silly. They still don't understand we're involved in at least a political civil war in this country and a cultural war, and it's very serious. It's for all the stakes, because our opponents are no longer supporters of liberty who just see a different style of government. They are actually hostile to the concept of individual liberty. All right, so you go to the Bethany Blankley writing at the Center Square. The headline, infighting unfolds among GOP leadership as the legislative session winds down. Lieutenant Governor Patrick this week called on Texas Governor Abbott to immediately call a special session in June, in order for the legislature to pass several bills the two support. SB 10, well, does Abbott really support it? See, this is the question. If he's not willing to lead on it, did he really support it? This is where we get to the dishonesty, not only from the executive, but from a lot of legislators. SB 10 to end taxpayer-funded lobbying. SB 12 to regulate social media outlets. SB 29 regarding transgender participation in girls' sports. The Texas House killed these conservative bills that majority of Texans in both parties support, Patrick said. Last week, House Speaker, they write, Dade Phelan, shut down the Texas House, effectively canceling bills from being heard or voted on just days before the session ends. The unprecedented move was described by several news outlets as Phelan siding with Democrats in a reported feud with Patrick, yeah? And then Michael, this is the best, in the Texas media won't go talk to Michael Quinn Sullivan because he's a conservative and they don't want to report that. Well, this national deal got, this is the single best thing said about it. And I want you to listen up, because it's not just taking sides, oh, we're against Abbott or for this guy. Listen to this. If they were to be honest, Sullivan said, at Empower Texans, Texans for Fiscal Responsibility, they would acknowledge it was the work of Governor Greg Abbott, House Speaker Dade Phelan, House Republican Caucus Chairman Jim Murphy, Calendar Committee Chairman Dustin Burroughs of Lubbock, talking about killing these bills. But Patrick doesn't have to wait for Abbott, Sullivan noted. This is right. During a legislative session, the lieutenant governor holds all the cards. Lieutenant Governor Patrick could have refused to call up the state budget for consideration by the Senate or the other must-pass bills that are required to continue the operations of state government beyond September 1st. That would have forced a special session to address the unaccomplished priorities. And yet, immediately after issuing his demand for a special session, Patrick put the Senate immediately to work finalizing the budget, giving up that important card. So, you know, this is what I mean when I say the Lone Star story of the day is about bad leadership and dishonesty. They don't get to work on things early enough. The governor does not lead behind the scenes and let people know exactly what he's going to push for so they can get their, put everything in the order that they want it to be. He's been so absent on that that even after coming in with a bunch of emergency items, which, you know, you can't label anything more of a gubernatorial priority than that, he then doesn't do anything to push those behind the scenes, or very little. And so I think people need to listen to what Sullivan's pointing out here. Okay, Phelan and the House leadership, definitely, when they took the recess and killed all the bills and took so much time away in the last week, the only reason everything's pushed back is a lack of leadership anyway. Key bills should have been heard before all that time, but then they doomed them to die, the bills, okay? And the governor doesn't lead. They didn't lead on passing stuff they told us they're for, like ending taxpayer-funded lobbying. But, you know, Sullivan's right. The lieutenant governor had the ace in the hole. He had the biggest, hardest, biggest important cards to play, and he gave them up. Laid them on the table and didn't use them. There was a big to-do over in the over in the House, one of these dog and pony shows, and I was embarrassed that my state rep, who I like a lot and I think in his heart is a committed conservative, but the more he gets in leadership, the more it becomes this game-playing stuff. The Speaker and Representative Burroughs, Chairman of Calendar's Committee, did one of these dog and pony shows. It's getting some attention out there. But it's a mistake. It's getting so full of yourself in the process that you miss the bigger picture. I edited it for time, and I'm not going to go the whole 2 or 3 minutes. You'll get the feel of it. Here it is.
Mr. Burroughs, for what purpose?
Mr. Speaker, parliamentary inquiry.
Please state your inquiry.
Mr. Speaker, is it true that the House sent 1,250 House bills to the Senate?
The chair is not specifically advised, but that sounds about accurate.
Ms. Speaker, parliamentary inquiry.
Please state your inquiry.
Is it also true that 100 of those bills were never even referred?
That sounds accurate.
Ms. Speaker, parliamentary inquiry.
Please state your inquiry.
That of the bills that actually were referred, 450 were never even considered in a Senate committee?
The chair is not advised, but that sounds accurate.
Ms. Speaker, parliamentary inquiry.
Please state your inquiry.
That less than 50% of the House bills that we sent over were passed by the Senate. Are you aware of that?
The chair is not advised.
Ms. Speaker, parliamentary inquiry.
Please state your inquiry.
By comparison, is it true that the Senate sent 670 Senate bills to the House?
That sounds about right.
Mr. Speaker, parliamentary inquiry.
Please state your inquiry.
That of the Senate bills sent over to the House, 99% of those were referred to committee?
That seems accurate.
Mr. Speaker, parliamentary inquiry.
Please state your inquiry.
Of those bills that were actually referred, 88% of the Senate bills were actually considered in a committee?
This is very easy to answer. Chairman Burroughs, here's what you guys have to understand. I'm not saying that some of the all these hundreds of bills or thousands that get filed aren't all important to somebody. All those big numbers, most of these are little ticky-tack bills that most people don't care anything about except some kind of vested interest somewhere or not. Like the whole future of the state wasn't on whether Texas Women's University became a university system or not. But y'all had time to handle that. It's the big bills, the philosophical bills that make a huge difference in the culture, political, and economic war we're in. That's what we care about. So quit with all the hundreds of bills here and dozens of bills there. It's the big bills that you guys campaign on and tell us you're for, and then you don't handle them. That's what matters, and that's what we care about.
Don't miss what Pratt says next. More Pratt on Texas after the break.
My entire trip, hotels, food, transport, and fun for both Isabel and me to DentalCare's Dr. Silvia Zuniga in Costa Rica cost us less than half my lowest dental work quote at home. I'm not alone in learning how much of a do-not-miss opportunity this is. A farmer from Crosby County had dental work needs that would have cost $25,000 here. He went to Dr. Zuniga at DentalCare, a cosmetic dental specialist, by the way, and had all 28 of his teeth crowned, each shaped uniquely for him, and two root canals he needed, all for under 10 grand. He had a great time, went to the Pacific Side beaches for a few days too, and his total hotel bill for the entire trip was under $1,000. Costa Rica is one of the hottest tourist destinations in the world. It's very safe, very easy to get around in, and not expensive to fly to from Texas, including on Southwest. If you want top dental work at affordable prices, learn more about Dr. Silvia Zuniga and DentalCare by clicking the banner at PrattOnTexas.com. Finally, having your teeth fixed and beautiful can be affordable and even fun.
Every show is a special session. Now, here's your Texan-in-Chief, Robert Pratt, with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Texas Hour on Pratt on Texas. Look, you know, talk about all the hundreds of bills and all this stuff. Again, it's the big bills that we care about. One of those big bills is the ban on taxpayer-funded lobbying, and the House killed it. Oh, that's right. Brad Johnson at the Texan reporting that Republicans voted to postpone, with the Democrats, voted to postpone the taxpayer-funded lobbying ban to September, meaning it's not there. You can't pick it up in September unless the governor were to put it on the agenda that goes along with the expected redistricting special. And, you know, already the House, its chairman there, Chris Patty, had just completely watered down and ruined this bill we've been working on for years. And guess what? You know how many, this is what I mean about they lie. Oh, we're for that. Oh, we're for small government. And then all of a sudden, they get in there and they destroy this stuff. 28 Republicans voted to approve that motion to basically officially kill off taxpayer-funded lobbying ban, the ban on it, to kill off the bill. And of course, Trav Clardy of Nacogdoches, who's a Lubbock guy, and John Frullo, my friend John Frullo, voted with that. House District 84 out of Lubbock. Stan Lambert of Abilene, of course, because he was recruited by local government people to run to represent them, not the taxpayers. Brooks Landgraf of Odessa. Ford Price of Amarillo, no surprise there, and a whole bunch of other ones. 28 of them voted to kill off the ban on taxpayer-funded lobbying. These are the big things, the big important things that they tell us in the campaigns all about, oh, we're going to get that done, and then they ruined it all. And this is where you get to, yeah, there's bad leadership because they don't get stuff done early. There's not an executive leadership using the clout of the governor's office to really move things through early, and including his own priority emergency items. And then you just get to the other problem. They don't get it done, and they push it off, and they schedule it so it'll die because they don't really support the bill. And what else is that other than people lying to you? What else is that? Now, in this case, they could say, well, the bill got so watered down. The problem is the Senate passed its version. You pass the thing, you go to conference and work it out over a day or two here before the very end, and you could have got the bill through. Senate looks to tap Rainy Day Fund to address ERCOT pricing error. This is kind of new stuff. Madeline Meckelberg at the Statesman telling us that legislation intended to remedy the pricing error made by all of Abbott's insider buddies he had put in charge of the PUC on the big freeze during the winter storm. That bill got a makeover in the Senate in the wee hours of Thursday. House Bill 4492 came up. Sponsor Kelly Hancock, Senator Hancock, offered a floor substitute that made changes, which now calls for tapping the Rainy Day Fund to cover debts owed to the operator of the state's electric grid. And there are many other proposals. It'll basically just put a fee on you. Most Texans would see a monthly charge on power bills that would go toward covering the financial losses of the electric companies during the storm. By imposing the fee on companies, one that would be realized through regular charges to both residential and business customers, Hancock said the state can reduce the risk of passing on larger one-time costs to consumers and speed up payment of debts from the storm. I don't know if that's the way to handle it or not. I don't really think it is, but nevertheless, that's still underway and working. The staffer who was involved in the false lobbyist date rape drug allegations, resigns. I had this yesterday, just could not get to it. And I'll remind you, bearing false witness is breaking God's law from the earliest Mosaic law. And it ruins not only other people's lives, it ruins your own life. And it turns out that it was a staffer of State Rep. Brooks Landgraf of Odessa. The Odessa American reported that staff member in his Austin resigned from his office and employment after the DPS released that report that found the staff member, a law school graduate, had lied about giving a date rape drug by a lobbyist. She lied about it. And what we know from the reports was covering up infidelity with other people and stuff like that. And that was Landgraf's employee. I mean, he's not responsible for that, but you just don't do this stuff. Bearing false witness, I mean, good grief, accusing a person of a felony? And it's all a lie because you took actions you're embarrassed of and you want to cover them up? What an incredibly terrible and weak character. But it's happened to all of us, hadn't it? I once had a business executive I was involved in business with who made it look like back in that 90s sexual harassment deal and everybody was going to their lawyers and having seminars, tried to make it look like me and a few other management people were the ones involved. None of us, we were scratching our head. None of us had any involved in any of it. Wasn't till years later I realized the reason all that was being shunted our way was because years later, after I left the company, one of my dear employees had lunch with me and said, you know, he was doing that. He was actually following us home, sitting in his car outside our houses. And this was a high school girl, a little college girl, creepy. He was doing all this stuff. But those kind of people, they don't have a problem trying to shift it onto other people. That's just disgusting. I don't care what the past history of that lobbyist or anybody's been. You don't have any right to accuse somebody of something they didn't do like that. What a mess. Texas likely to ban homeless encampments in unapproved public places after the bill sent to the governor. That's right. The House and Senate concurred, got HB 1925 done to ban the bums from setting up their California-style filth villages all over our public property. The governor, they did send the budget to Governor Abbott. It's a decent budget. I mean, they should always spend less, but it's okay. They did say in this final work of the budget that $16 billion that the governor has control over of federal money, the way they worded it, saying it's simply not appropriated, so it's not available and won't be available. That's, of course, unless the governor just decided he's going to designate it anyway. That's just like all the COVID stuff. The law didn't allow him to do all that specifically, but it didn't prohibit him from it. Anyway, so they claim that the governor won't be able to hand that out as basically a campaign slush fund until the legislature appropriates those funds. As long as he participates with that, that'll be fine. Texas Women's University, now the nation's first woman-focused university system. That's right. They can get stuff like this done, you know, got TWU turned into a university system. Bill to quash local, I love how the left headline sings in the Texas Signal. Bill to quash local worker benefits passes Texas House. And the people they talked to, the Texas Gulf Coast Area Labor Federation, said that this is terrible. And they got all these co-founder, co-executive, workers' defense and all the terrible, what do you call it, biggest state-level assault on workers' rights in recent times. No, actually, it's not. The House voted 94-52 to pass SB 14, legislation that prohibits local government, cities and counties, from passing a bunch of labor laws. That's right. Eddie Lucio is co-authored. Democrat Lucio co-authored it, Lucio III. It's to do away with the patchwork of local employment benefits that exceed or conflict with state and federal law, which makes it extremely hard to operate a business in the state. Plus, it's not local government's responsibility to be telling companies how they have to schedule their staffs. Yes, that's a big part of it in Austin and some of these liberal cities. Staffing rules, scheduling rules, all kinds of ridiculous stuff. Bonuses, you know, extra benefits mandated. Representative King, Phil King, said the legislation would rein in local governments that are passing or considering passing ordinances related to overtime, paid sick leave, health insurance, and predictive scheduling. It's the lefties call fair work week laws, which is more BS. So that did pass. That's good. Governor is set to sign a bill letting school marshals carry handguns. We talked about this earlier. Right now, they've got to be locked up and safe so you don't have them on your person when you need them, even if you're a school marshal. This would allow people to carry them holstered. And, oh boy, there's just so many other things, but that's the big highlights right now out of the legislature. I need to shift to some other issues, Memorial Day and news from the border, when we return on the Texas Hour on Pratt on Texas.
We're talking Texas. More after this.
I tell you, my heart really goes out to those like me who are self-employed.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
Self-employed individuals have really been the very cornerstone of my agency.
If you're self-employed, you have a special health insurance problem.
I'm trying to help the individual out there who makes too much to qualify for any help, any subsidy or benefits from the government towards their health insurance, but does not have the income to pay the incredibly high premiums we find if you're buying your insurance individually. I'm a policyholder myself. I sleep better at night knowing that I have this coverage in place in a way that won't break the bank and allows me to keep my family covered if something tragic does happen.
Life Health Dental. With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. Hurley Benefit Services is independently owned, and they're online at hurleybenefits.com. H-U-R-L-E-Y benefits.com.
It may be the stars and stripes forever for some, but to this guy, as always, Texas, our Texas, which inspires. Now helping you keep up with Texas, it's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas on the eve of this Memorial Day weekend. Congressman Pfluger, Texas 11, put out a statement saying that Midland Memorial Hospital has provided over $200,000 in medical care to these illegal aliens housed at that facility they went and set up, and they're not getting reimbursed. He said, I may have been made aware at least 40 illegal immigrant minors from Midland HHS facility have been treated at Midland Memorial Hospital for a barrage of issues, including COVID, pregnancy, suicide attempts, and more, racking up charges of over $200,000. To date, President Biden's Department of Health and Human Services has not processed a single claim to pay back Midland Memorial. Midland's hospital system should not have to shoulder the cost of the Biden border crisis. This is an example of what's happening to all of you in all your localities. You just don't see it, know it, nobody's totaled it up. There is a real serious cost to this stuff. And let me remind you, your hospital districts, what do? Yeah, they're a property taxing entity. Greg Abbott sends state troopers and National Guard to border after increase in fentanyl seizures. How many times can we keep sending the same people there? I thought he had already done this. But he's had a big deal presser about the fentanyl rise. Okay, good, but I thought we already had these folks there doing this stuff. But somehow we keep coming up with another way to get on Fox News and make it look like we're Mr. Macho on the border. And he's been pretty good on that. I'm just saying, at some point, what news going on there? 10 deported sex offenders busted in a week crossing into just one Texas border sector. Del Rio Border Sector Patrol agents, reported by Breitbart, Texas, stopped 10 convicted sex offenders from successfully making their way into the U.S. Interior during 1 week period this month. That's right. 1 week. That's just the ones they caught, folks. Jeez. Human smugglers lead Border Patrol in high-speed chase onto Texas ranch. That by Randy Clark at Breitbart at the Cotulla area, the Border Patrol, the Cotulla station. This happened earlier this week. The vehicle struck a ranch fence, rolled over. It sat near Big Wells. Two illegal aliens were apprehended and transported to hospital. So again, taxpayers going to pick that up. Juvenile human smuggler crashes into Texas youth softball game near the border. That's right. While families were there with children playing. Randy Clark, Breitbart, Texas. Did you see that all over the rest of the Texas news? I bet you didn't, but it was out there. Tuesday evening, a juvenile human smuggler led Zavala County Sheriff's deputies on a high-speed chase, which ultimately ended on a youth softball field in La Pryor, Texas. During a game, some of the parents assisted authorities in detaining the illegal aliens. That's right, the underage smuggler's white Chevy Suburban came to an abrupt stop after crashing through the softball field's fence. Resident film part of this stuff. Pursuit's an example of these dangers. We're having these all the time. We're having these pursuits all over. Zavala County officials turned over the illegals to Border Patrol for processing, then no telling what will happen. Just let them go. Who knows? West Texas Migrant Detention Center at 700% COVID security capacity out in Eagle Pass. Texas' most remote sector, the Big Bend sector, used to be called the Marfa sector when I was down there a lot. It's the Big Bend sector now. They've seen unprecedented border crossings, their chief has said. We've seen a significant increase in traffic coming into the Big Bend sector. It's new for us. It's new for our community, something we hadn't seen in the past. That's because out there in the desert and it's so far away. But the apprehension of single adult illegal aliens has increased by 422% this year. He said we're well over 22,000 apprehensions for this sector. The highest we ever had in a year was just a little over 9,000. He said, it's a simple business proposition. We're talking about organized crime. They're looking at this as another business opportunity. In the past, it was deemed inhospitable, difficult terrain. Now they're looking at this as an opportunity, not a deterrent. And he points out, they just leave them out there to die. 82 migrants packed in a stash house near the border. This was in Edinburgh. That's right. Went there. It was just filthy. McAllen agents got another one in McAllen, multiple. There was 82 in these. Pakistani Yemeni nationals arrested near border in southwest Texas. Again, from Breitbart. Randy Clark. On Tuesday, Border Patrol agents arrested two special interest aliens from Pakistan and Yemen. Both were encountered shortly after their illegal entry during early morning hours. The arrests come after a similar introduction of two special interest aliens earlier this month by Zavala County Sheriff's Office, 40 miles from Eagle Pass in La Pryor. That's where they ran into the... It's a totally separate incident where they ran through the baseball, into the baseball field. In that incident, two Pakistani nationals were encountered in a failed human smuggling attempt. Latest case been referred to the FBI for review. The arrest of special interest aliens is not a common occurrence along the southwest border. Department of Homeland Security listed 21 countries as special interest in 2018, but now the numbers have just grown crazily. Oh, here was another one from earlier this week. 206 illegal aliens apprehended in a single group near the border. And that was down in Weslaco area. It just continues. And meanwhile, functionally abolished. ICE averaging one arrest every 2 months among border crisis. The Daily Wire had a big piece how Biden's change in policies has effectively abolished immigration and customs enforcement throughout the rest of the country. They're so busy doing the other, they're not even arresting people. I want to shift gears. It is Memorial Day weekend, and Monday is Memorial Day. Michael Quinn Sullivan, our good friend, had a great piece. As Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. More than 1 million soldiers, sailors, and Marines have laid down their lives for the cause of self-governance and in defense of our Republic's Constitution. Since the late 1860s, we've set aside a day of national remembrance. Yet I fear we have actually stopped remembering. We have allowed Memorial Day to devolve into a long weekend of mattress sales and cookouts. To justify our national forgetfulness, we smuggle in, yes, correctly, assert our rights to life, liberty, and property are endowed by God. Yet we gloss past the stark reality that securing those rights has fallen to men and women willing to battle enemy forces intent on destroying the glorious American experiment in self-governance. We have lived in the liberty their ultimate sacrifice made possible. We've slept easily at night under the protection of men and women who stand willing to give their lives for our liberty. The love shown to us by those patriots has not exactly been spurned, but gets treated like a trinket without too much examination of its implication. Our callous approach to Memorial Day is just another symptom of our national disregard for the work of self-governance in preserving liberty. The last year has shown how easily too many of our countrymen will sacrifice their rights for the thinnest veneer of, quote, protection, unquote. We don't want to consider the teenagers and 20-somethings crammed into landing craft who died at Normandy, because then we would have to confront the shallowness of college campuses creating safe spaces from debate. We don't want to dwell on the thousands of Americans who have been killed in the ongoing war on terror, because we might have to consider the policies we have allowed at home, sacrificing small businesses on the irrational altar of COVID response. It's undoubtedly easier to enjoy a beer and burger in the backyard than reflect on the sacrifices made on our behalf, often before we were ever born, by men who would only be known as the uncle who died in the war. Yet reflect, dwell, and consider we must. If we are to give up our liberties and adorn our ankles with the soft chains of tyranny, what was the point of their sacrifice? Did they die for a lost cause? Or to give us the opportunity to be better, to be more? Michael Quinn Sullivan says, I choose to believe our best days as a republic are ahead of us, and that our honored dead paid for that future with their lives. Let's not squander their gift. There's nothing wrong with having the burgers and beer. But can we take a few minutes for deep prayer and talk about the sacrifices and what it was they actually sacrificed for with our kids? Because let me tell you, our kids, young people, even people at work now are being confronted daily and indoctrinated and told that they died for something that was horrible, that this country's terrible. It was nothing but racist, oppressive, white folk stuff. A blessed and thoughtful Memorial Day to you all, and say a prayer for those who gave their lives for us. Long live liberty, long live Texas, and may God continue to bless us all. Adios, mis amigos. It may sound impossible, but Isabel and I have done it, having fun while going to the dentist. Dr. Silvia Zuniga's practice in Costa Rica is personal with the highest level of service and quality I've experienced for anything. Her office is near most of the embassies and a place perfect for walking and enjoying the wonderful weather. If you want top dental work at almost unbelievably affordable prices, learn more about Dr. Silvia Zuniga and dental care by clicking the banner at PrattonTexas.com. Finally, having your teeth fixed and beautiful can be affordable and even fun. And